Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are now joined by Kai from Aussie band Girl and Girl, who just put out a couple of singles for the first time in a long time. And yeah, I'm just going to get straight into it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you guys released a double single a few weeks ago called Hell and It's Dead, which is your first release in over a year since OK. How does it feel to be releasing music again?
It's really exciting. But I think the time away was very necessary for me personally. Mm. So, I feel ready. To be back.
Hell yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about the tracks and like what they mean and the inspiration behind them?
I won't go into too much detail about...
Fair enough.
It's Dead. I think that's up to the listener. But there is, you know, obviously with a lot of our music, there's a lot of kind of destruction and a lot of death themes in the past. So it's a very explicit example of us singing about death with a happy kind of background tune.
Yeah.
I think it's just in a place I've been, it's sometimes cathartic to just blow everything up in a song, you know.
I get that.
And just go a bit crazy and be a bit destructive.
Yeah, 100%. What's your writing process like as a band?
I write everything, and usually there's not really a process. Like I can't have any kind of intention behind what I'm doing. I can't sit down and write about something specific. I have to just sort of write, and then the track just sort of forms a meaning. And sometimes it's not till a long time after that I understand what it's about, or someone else might even explain it to me. It's a very sort of like deeply subconscious process for me a lot of the time. I've been through lots of different waves and trying to try different techniques, like trying to treat it a bit like an office job and force myself to come down in the studio and like work and stuff. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes I have to just wait until I feel ready.
I get that.
Yeah.
Do you think, going back to how you were talking before about how there's like some themes of death and like the uncomfortable parts of life and lots of your music, do you think that influences how you write, like what you're saying about you can't just sit down and do you think, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. Do you think there's a reason that like the uncomfortable parts of life crops up a lot in your music, despite it all sounding very happy and energetic?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons. I think one being like that kind of juxtaposition between, you know, joyful music and depressing lyrics, I think is kind of like a sort of feigned insincerity that kind of allows you to, weirdly enough, be sincere. Like Call the Doctor, the record that we did was so theatrical and sort of silly and goofy, but also like incredibly honest. Like listening back to that and looking through the lyrics, I'm like, wow, you know, that's really depressing. A lot of the stuff you're saying, but just kind of like brushing it off. It's kind of like the only way you can, or I can get away with being so honest, is like wrapping it up in this theatrical musical bow. And then I think the other reason is that music for me is like a sixth kind of sense, like a kind of necessary processing mechanism for me. And what I kind of recently discovered after taking a bit of a break, or not even taking a break, after an extended period of having a bit of a troubled relationship with music, is that like it's kind of critical for me to write music, to sort of explore things or let things out in a way that I have no other no other way to do, you know? Yeah, like I can't just go for a run or go see a therapist, or like there's specific things, specific topics and ideas that have to be explored through the medium of music. Yeah.
No, I get that. It's like a venting almost, like.
Yeah.
So during that break, were you writing at all, or was it just lots of like between okay and it's dead and hell? Was it lots of writing and thinking about things, or was it just a big break from music altogether?
Definitely not. Like, it's kind of weird to call it a break. It was definitely a break from releasing, and I really needed to step back from this kind of like world domination approach that we sort of had going, and just needed to be like, I just, you know, need to relax, and I needed to diversify as well, and kind of like put eggs in different baskets. And I don't know, if you put all your focus into music and then music is stressing you out, then everything is stressing you out, if that's all that exists. So I've been training to become a snake catcher.
Really?
Which has been fun.
That is fun.
And then, writing, maybe within like the last sort of 4 months, like super, super excited about writing new stuff, and got a new record in the works. And
oh, sick.
No timeline or just removing all kinds of expectations and stuff, and it'll be ready when it's ready, and then we'll decide what to do with it then, sort of thing. 100%. Just sort of like a new slow anti-grind and anti-algorithm approach, you know.
Yeah, that's got to be nice though, like having a like no pressure on it. And
so nice. That's the whole just this kind of realization that's the whole point of it, like to create, you know. For yourself first and foremost.
100%
Yeah.
Why snake catching?
I have a zoology degree from like quite a few years ago.
True.
And that's just one of the things, you know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about those things that you feel deep in your stomach, those kind of like just a passion and a good way to make a bit of money on the side as well. Sorry, airplane.
No, it's all good. Hell yeah. Do you have a favorite snake?
No. I think they're all beautiful. I would hate to have to choose.
Fair enough. It's a very diplomatic answer.
Thank you.
You also came out with a music video for It's Dead, which is super entertaining.
Yes.
And it kind of makes me feel a little bit sick to watch, but in a good way, I think. I was like watching it last night again before I went to bed, and I was like, oh, like, this is really cool, but like, why am I doing this at like 11 p.m.? Like,
yeah, you had nightmares.
Yeah. How did you come up with that concept?
Same sort of deal, just feeling very like boxed in and agitated, and just like, needed to.
Yeah.
I've really wanted to create something violent, I guess. Yeah. But at the same time, it's very like campy and sort of theatrical and pretty funny.
Fun. Yeah.
But yeah, I just really wanted to explode a bit, just a sort of catharsis. And it was so much fun to do it all together with the guys. I'm really glad that everybody kind of put their hands up for it, and everyone was super keen and passionate to be a part of it. And it was just 3 days in Seb's house, actually, our guitarist.
That's so funny.
Just filmed it in his living room and beat the crap out of each other. It was so much fun. But yeah, the whole, you saying it made you feel sick. Well, on the second day when the makeup came on, Fraser's throat thing, I was a bit wheezy all day as well. It was so gross to look at.
It's just like first watch, I was like, no way, no way, no way, no way. And then it's just like, what the hell? Like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty full on.
You all play your parts in the video. Was there much discussion over who was going to do what? Or do you think it like kind of fell into its natural order that someone was going to get their head cut off? I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember how that came about. I think I've written like a sort of general kind of treatment and then sent it to Alex, our director, and then he probably added in a lot of the, I don't know, like symbol decapitation stuff and heart pull. I don't know if I had any of that in mind. but I was kind of envisioning it getting to that sort of street fighter level.
Yeah.
I'm not sure specifically how it eventuated that, you know, Seb would be the one getting his heart ripped out and Fraser would have his head cut off.
Yeah. And then you're the superhero too. Did you make that costume yourselves?
Nah. I'm not sure how that came about. Yeah. Either. I definitely didn't put my head up for that. We just kind of, it's just kind of got away from us. Seb's brother actually sewed that whole thing together in a night. Did such an amazing job.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. Do you have a funny or like a favorite memory from making the video?
From making the clip?
Yeah.
Probably, God, it was such a busy couple of days. We did some like stunt rehearsals. We had like a stunt guy come in and he did all the choreographing and stuff like that. That was so much fun learning all those bits and pieces. And we were tossing up whether we would or not, whether it was kind of worth the expense and because it is expensive. The whole clip was very expensive, but it just was night and day compared to what we would have managed to put together. So it was a lot of fun. I think that was probably one of the funnest parts of it was learning that side of, I don't know, the action film industry. It was cool.
Hell yeah. Can you do any of the stunts now or like have you got your stunt repertoire up?
I guess I could do that routine specifically with Seb.
No one else though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very generally applicable.
Probably not actually, yeah.
I wouldn't put it on my resume.
No. Stuntman's not up there. Snakecatcher, not stuntman.
Snakecatcher, yeah.
Yeah.
Not stuntman.
You guys are kicking off a tour next week too, going all up and down the east coast of Oz, which is very, very exciting. And I wish I was back home to go to one of the shows. Where are you most excited to play?
I have to do another generic answer. I love all my children equally.
Everywhere.
next week, honestly, everywhere. It's all kind of... things are selling nicely, I think. And then we got this Cooley Hotel thing next week with a surf brand. They're premiering a surf film.
Super cool.
Yeah, I'm super keen for that. That'll be a fun crew. And then we're playing a record store the day after, and that's some of my favorite stuff to do, just like sort of really DIY, tiny little room, we're all packed in together kind
in
of
the
shows.
Corner.
Those kind of low pressure gigs and everybody just has a bit of fun. And I'll say right now I'm most excited for those two because they're the next two to happen.
Awesome. What's your favorite part about touring?
That's a bit tricky. There'd be a few things, like obviously playing.
Yeah.
Meeting people. I've got like a bunch of really fantastic friends from a lot of our trips through Europe and America. I think some of the best times are when we have time. Like when we have more than one night in a city, often when I'm asked, you know, what's your favorite city or state in America, it's usually just whichever one I got to spend more than one night in, you know.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so so that kind of stuff's really fun, and yeah, playing live's really good. You know, when it's good, it's good.
Yes. Awesome. Now this is going to be me making you pick from your children again, but
yes,
is there a track that you're most excited to play live, or a favorite track that you guys have to play live?
Favorite, maybe. I really like playing Maple Jean and the Anthropocene. That's a lot of fun. Misery Man, we've brought back into the set.
Cool.
Which I really enjoy playing. And then we got a bunch of new stuff that we're debuting at these shows. We got like, I think we'll play like 3 or 4 new songs. And I'm like super excited about all of those.
Yeah, that is so exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be cool to have. We haven't played new stuff at a show in a very long time. So that'll be cool.
How do you decide what tracks are going to go on the set list?
We kind of... It's a bit of a chip fight between me and Liz on drums. Usually she'll write out a set list, and then I'll have a look through and let her know if she's done it right or not. kind of night to night.
Yeah.
How we're sort of feeling, and I guess the vibe, like if it's a support, if you're headlining, how indulgent can you be? Like, should we play the 4-minute spoken word intro song, or should we just, you know, go straight in? It all depends.
Yeah. And Liz is your auntie, right?
Yeah.
Yes. How is being in a band with your auntie? That feels like it'd be so fun.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes lots of not fun. It's
true.
As one might expect.
Yes. Yes.
I love her with my whole heart. We've spent a lot of time together.
As you would, yeah. Awesome. Well, I think that kind of rounds up the questions I have. Have you got anything else planned for the rest of the year, or are we just kind of leaving it open, seeing what happens?
We're leaving it open at this stage.
Yes.
Still working on things. We'll see what happens. Lots of snake catching.
Lots of snake catching.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kai, for coming on. You released Hell and It's Dead a couple of weeks ago. What is one thing you'd tell our listeners to convince them to go listen to it?
Watch the film. Watch the film clip. That'll convince you.
100%.
Okay. Or dissuade you completely from the band. Not just the song, but me personally, my violent tendencies.
I feel like if they're not vibing with the film clip, then maybe they don't deserve to be a Girl and Girl fan anyway.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, cool. Thanks so much for coming on. This has been...
Thanks for having me.
Well. Yes. I hope the tour goes really well, and I hope snake catching is fun as well.
Thank you.
Of course. Awesome.
And you couldn't tell, but I have been unwell, pal. And it's been hard, proving just how hard it's really been. Well, it's been really, really hard. And this caveat.
Yeah, now, Siebes, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.